Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. We're still in sunny Florida on our retreat. This is another episode of Q&A, all the questions that you guys asked us. We like to do this yearly. And we're going to be doing more of them. So this is our general like tech questions that a lot of you guys asked. We have so many questions. Thank you so much for doing that. We're going to be recording another Q&A with the personal questions that you guys asked us. And we're also launching a subscription where you can get the bonus episodes like that one and ad-free versions of all of our normal episodes. So if you'd like to support us, that would be great. And you can check it out under Apple Podcast subscriptions or under YouTube, whichever platform you prefer. But with that said, let's jump into some of these questions. Oh, Hartley, how are you doing, by the way?
It's good.
Whole week that we've been.
Yeah, I've been sitting here for a whole week.
Yes.
In the sunshine, so I'm feeling great.
Yeah, you look great. You're not burnt at all.
No.
All right, let's jump into current hardware questions. We kind of have these broken up by hardware, software, and then just general. And my apologies if I butcher your name. It's almost most certainly going to happen. These are usernames. Some of them are real names. I don't know. So Jeff K. Jr. Asks, do you guys think theoretically iPhone Air 2 could be the first Apple product to use a silicon carbon battery if the technology is in the company's roadmap for the near future? Or do you think Apple will forego any real battery improvements for the sake of adding a second camera lens and or speaker?
I think that it will be too soon with the iPhone Air 2 to see that kind of battery innovation. It's certainly that kind of device would be a good contender, because I imagine that when we do see new battery technology, it's not going to come to all of the new iPhones at once, probably just one.
Yeah.
A little bit like the C1 modem came first to the iPhone 16e, but it just would feel very soon to me. There's a lot that needs to happen with the iPhone Air 2, namely adding that second camera. And I don't know if Apple is ready yet. I mean, this kind of new battery technology has not taken off yet. This is not Apple is not usually one to run toward those kind of new innovations. I think that maybe the 20th anniversary iPhone late next year would be the earliest time I would expect to see anything like that. But even then, it's not rumored. We've heard nothing about that. So maybe even later than that, unfortunately.
I just don't think the iPhone Air is going to last in time for this
nope.
battery to come out. So maybe the Fold, that would make sense if they can figure out a way to fit it in.
But even then, the Fold is going to have the biggest battery
that
we've ever seen in an iPhone. I think we're expecting somewhere between 5,200 and 5,400 milliamp hours, which is a huge battery.
And guys, battery life honestly is not that bad on the Air. If they can figure out a way to expand on that a little bit more, it's really not that bad. It can be a problem depending on what your day is, but for like day-to-day use, I mean, we have somebody here that uses it all the time. Said it's fine. I used it all the time. It was fine. So I don't know.
It's okay. But
Pro.
I am still yearning for better battery technology, because these technologies now exist. We just need to actually get these in every device.
This one comes from Callum93. Based on current rumors, which one would you choose? iPhone Air 2 or iPhone Ultra, the Fold? And why?
For me, it's going to be the Fold, because at that point, I'm making camera sacrifices anyway between those two devices. So I may as well have something that offers something additional over my current device,
get which would be interesting.
Something that folds.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't want the iPhone Air 2 over the Fold. Just different form factor. I mean, it's interesting. It's the most new thing. It honestly might be what we end up getting anyway. So stay tuned. Yeah. This one is from JR Michael D. Also, upgrade the iPhone Air with the, did we cut off some of this? We'll just start from here. When will Apple finish upgrading the whole line of laptops? Neo Air Pro with OLED ProMotion screens. Well, I don't know, but the Pro is probably coming this year. I can't envision the Neo getting an OLED ProMotion screen anytime soon.
No. So,
or the Air, but
we are expecting this transition to really pick up some pace over the next couple of years. I mean, last week we talked about the OLED iPad Mini and iPad Air that are coming, but this applies to the Mac lineup as well. So we are expecting the MacBook Pro to be first to get OLED, then the MacBook Air, and then even a little further out toward the end of the decade, other machines like the iMac. Now, there are no rumors about really the what will happen with the MacBook Neo in the future other than a chip bump. There was a rumor about a touch screen at one point, which probably now won't happen. But it is inevitable that this technology will trickle down.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to compare a MacBook Neo to a MacBook Pro from 10 years ago, the MacBook Neo would be a huge amount more capable and more impressive. So maybe 10 years from now, the MacBook Neo will finally get something like ProMotion. But I would imagine that that will not be until we are in the 2030s for the price to come down, because OLED displays are so expensive. And any time that Apple has brought OLED to a product, it has come with a price increase. Obviously, the MacBook Neo is such a price-sensitive product that there's just no way. And what I will also say is that we don't know yet whether the OLED displays that are coming to Apple's entry-level devices or mid-level devices like the MacBook Air, the iPad Air, we don't know if that'll have ProMotion. It may not. It may just have OLED with a 60 hertz refresh rate, which would be a missed opportunity, but they've got to have some differentiators in there. So it may be even longer before it does actually get ProMotion, which I don't know if it particularly bothers me. I don't know if a lot of MacBook Neo customers are worried about that, because you're getting such a great device at a really low price point. But it would be nice to get it eventually, I suppose.
This next one's kind of a fun one, because spoiler alert, it happened last week. So, hi, Dan and Hartley. This is from Oliver. Big fan of the show. Thank you so much, Oliver. My question is, if for some reason John Ternus couldn't be the next CEO, which, spoiler, he is going to be the next CEO. If you guys missed that episode, we talked all about it last week. Who would you think would be the next CEO and why? I'll start. This is really tough. It wouldn't be my choice, but I don't know. Craig, I think? Like, who else would be in front of him besides John? I don't think Sruji would be enough.
It's really hard to say, because he has been prepared for this role for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there is really anyone else.
Right.
And if there are, and I'm sure there are people who are maybe around his age, a similar level of experience, but we just don't see them very much. They've not been given the limelight.
Right. Besides Craig, that's the only one I can think of who gets some screen time.
Obviously, Johnny Sruji has had a
good amount,
a promotion. And there are other people like Jaws, but he's a marketing guy.
You usually don't go from marketing to CEO.
He's also a lot older.
Yeah.
So there's really no one else that stands out to me. So I don't know that I can really answer that question.
Yeah.
It would be really tough.
It's got to be John, which it is. So we don't have to worry about that. Kung Fu Kenny, great name, by the way. The burning question is, will this OLED Mini have ProMotion? We did a whole video or a whole podcast on this.
But it is still an open question.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did a whole thing on it. We have no idea.
Like I was just saying about the MacBook Neo, we really have no idea. And there's an argument for and against, because when you look at any of these products, whether it's the MacBook Air or the iPad Air, if they do give it ProMotion, that is going to cannibalize sales of the MacBook Pro and the iPad Pro to some extent. And it's going to reduce the number of key differentiators between those two products. But at the same time, there is now precedent for bringing ProMotion, what began as a pro feature, to a mid-level device with the iPhone 17, which has ProMotion even though it is not a pro device. So maybe it will have a higher refresh rate. I think it probably should, considering that plenty of other laptops far cheaper than the MacBook Air do have 120 hertz refresh rates.
Well, kind of sticking with the iPad mini here. N. Boggio says you talked about a lot on the last episode about the iPad mini, but won't the, we're not making iFold a thing, but they said iFold, the folding iPhone. Wouldn't that be basically a new iPad mini with ProMotion and a better display?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So I don't know that, I think this all comes down to the fact that if the iPad mini moves up market, which it is supposed to, it's supposed to get $100 more expensive, it's supposed to get OLED, it's supposed to get this new thinner design, that really, you won't need to buy that if you have a foldable iPhone.
Yeah.
I know that there is still going to be some display size difference. And to me, it would, and we've talked about this a lot, what would make more sense is to bring the iPad mini down, mm-hmm. not up, bring the price down, maybe pare back the specifications a little bit more and make it like an entry-level iPad. So instead of aping the iPad Air, it should actually follow the entry-level iPad, because that would be a great iPad for kids who are not going to have a foldable iPhone.
Yeah. Well, jumping in the same kind of area here, Jim asked if the MacBook Neo would be potentially cannibalizing iPad sales, and should consumers be worried about this? And honestly, Jim, no, I don't think so, because maybe we will have less choices on iPads in the future. I think the iPad Pro could be kind of worrisome potentially, because it's like, why would anyone want to spend $3,000 when a MacBook Neo could do a lot of real work too, and it's so much cheaper? But like, there's still a place for the iPad, and there will probably always be a place for the foreseeable future for an iPad, especially with kids and just people who want something to, you know, a bigger version of their phone on the couch, browse the web, read books, watch movies and TV shows while traveling. You don't want to bring a MacBook for that.
I agree. I think that there will be some cannibalization that
right.
takes place. And that is a very specific kind of customer who is someone who loves the Apple ecosystem and has a limited budget. So for example, let's say that you're going off to college, you have an iPhone, some AirPods, and you're a Mac Rumors reader, you're invested in what's going on with Apple, and you need a new machine to go off to college with, but you don't have an unlimited budget. In that instance, if you were choosing between the entry-level iPad with the Magic Keyboard Folio and Apple Pencil, or the MacBook Neo, you're going to choose the MacBook Neo. And therefore, entry-level iPad sales will be slightly lower. And there will be some people who will be pulled away from that. I mean, even, I don't know, if you have very simple computing requirements, you go into an Apple store, and maybe previously you would have been pushed toward an iPad. Now there is an option in the Mac lineup that feels a lot more accessible than $1,000 for a MacBook Air. So that will happen. However, in terms of kids, in terms of a companion device, a travel device, people who want to use the Apple Pencil or want a detachable keyboard, illustrators, people who want to take notes by hand, there is still a really important place for the iPad. So there will be some cannibalization. I think Apple is not blind to that fact, but I can't imagine it making a dramatic difference. I think that it just contributes to the long-term trend that I think we will see over maybe the next decade of the iPad slowly, very slowly dying and reducing its market share, because if the Mac gets a touch screen, we end up with large sort of foldable notebooks with foldable displays. We get more foldable iPhones. I can see the iPad shrinking. I don't think the iPad will ever go away. Maybe not for a 20-year time frame, a way longer time frame.
For sure.
Until, you know, even things like wearables improve significantly, if indeed we get smart glasses that do have built-in displays that are really capable in 25 years. I mean, it's hard to speculate that far out, of course. But I think in the immediate future, I think we probably will see a gradual decline of iPad sales overall, but not anything that is going to be dramatic.
Yeah, I agree.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
On top, staying with, well, we're going kind of going back and forth with the iPad and the iPhone Ultra, which this person's really trying to make the iFold a thing. Do you think that could actually be the name? I understand if you spell it I-P-H-O-L-D and it's like the iPhone, it goes off the cheeky I stuff in front of everything. I personally do not like that, and I really hope that it is the rumored iPhone Ultra, because that is a better name than, or even just the iPhone Fold, which I still don't like, would be better than iFold. I just think that's lame.
I don't think
the word fold
in any kind of embodiment is going to be coming to this device, because that's Samsung.
Samsung
has already carved out that name, and it's always bothered me from day one.
Yeah, but they have Ultra too, though.
But there's something, but Apple has other Ultra products.
Sure.
And I think that it just does not feel like Apple marketing to use that. I think that Apple wants to position the foldable iPhone as the best iPhone, not the best folding iPhone. And there will be other aspects of that device, such as its battery life, which will be front and center, not just its folding display. It's always bugged me from day one when we have, for the purposes of rumors, been calling the foldable iPhone the iPhone Fold. Because there is nothing to me that suggests it will be called iPhone Fold, capital F. I can never see that happening, ever. I think the Ultra makes perfect sense. Even before those rumors emerged, that is the name that made sense to me. And even if it was not called the iPhone Ultra, some other completely different name. I mean, I would be more inclined to believe that it would be called the Apple Phone than it would be called the iPhone Fold.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be iPhone Ultra. I'm just holding out hope for that.
It makes the most sense. It's going to sit at the top of the lineup. That's what we see with the Apple Watch. It's going to happen.
All right, moving on to software. This one comes from Software93. What a great username for this specific section. What do you think Vision OS 27 would be, and will there be a new Vision Pro variant in a year or two? Do you want me to start?
Go on.
I genuinely don't know how to answer this because I don't think there's going to be another Apple Vision Pro variant in the next year or two. I don't really think so. And so I think it'll just be iterative updates based on what we have now, maybe some good quality of life improvements, some things that we've been asking for over the last few years that we haven't gotten yet. I just don't think it's going to be that big. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I totally agree. So to answer the first half of that question, I think that Vision OS will see very minimal changes.
Yeah.
All of the releases of Vision OS that we've seen so far have been very small, with things like keyboard occlusion and...
They're pretty big features, though.
Yes, but it hasn't really dramatically changed the way you use the device.
Sure.
And it feels like they've been similar to like a TV OS update rather than an iOS update. Very small. And by all means, some of those features have been very good. Like I liked... was it with Vision OS 2 where we got the gesture where you flip over your hand to go home? You could see the time and the battery life. You can access Control Center like that. A great new gesture. But does it make the Vision Pro a better product? Not really. Undoubtedly, Vision Pro is better for these updates, but it doesn't really move the needle for me. In terms of the next update, it's got to get the next generation version of Siri. It would be nice to see it getting some...
That would be a pretty major update.
AI features. But I don't know. I don't want to say that the Vision Pro is dead, because it's not yet. But I think that it is a dead product walking, put it that way. And there are no active headsets.
Supposed to be happy episodes.
Well, it's impossible to be upbeat about the Vision Pro. And I think it's important to talk about it, because this was such an important product for Apple, and it's
not fair though, because it's so much better than other like Samsung and Google did its little the thing. I don't even know what the name of it is, but it's Galaxy VR XR or whatever. It's objectively terrible, just not good compared to the Vision Pro. And I got to give it time. We gave the Vision Pro time, so I got to give that time. But like, even when they both launched, looking at its first month to 2 months of use, so much better from Vision Pro's perspective in both obviously hardware and software, in my opinion. Just much more intuitive. Or even if it wasn't intuitive, the things that you would do worked so much better on a Vision Pro. Obviously, having better hardware helps too, but it's just a shame because it's a good product in the sense of like hardware and software. Okay, maybe not software, but hardware, it's really good. And there's so much room for improvement. And the software is getting better with each release. And I'm afraid that it's going to be cut out and like it's going to be done. And we're not going to see where it could truly go. Like a Gen 2 that actually is different and lighter and better.
I think if we do get that, it is not coming until at the very earliest, probably 2028. And I can imagine the current Vision Pro just slowly scaling back its presence, as it already actually has, in Apple stores over the next few years. I think that will be a slow, just a slow fading away. Fewer of them out on the tables, fewer demos, being made only as built to order online, things like that. Because there's just no way. I mean, the only reason why we have the current version, which is not a second generation version, by the way, it's just an updated version.
Yeah. Which does have improvements, but...
It does, but Apple does not qualify it as a second generation.
It's like the AirPods Max in the middle.
Pretty much. So what that means is that, and as was rumored, it's just using components from the previous generation or the original version of the device because they were stockpiled. They didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
I am worried about the future of this product, and I would not be surprised if this just fades away.
By the way, my apologies if any of the things that are happening in the background is leaking into our microphones. I don't think they are, but it is fairly distracting where it sounds like someone is literally being murdered behind us. But we'll try our best to cut that out and not bring it up so much. But just I heard nothing of what you said over the last like 30 seconds just because I was wondering if that child is okay. Anyways, I'm sure they're having fun in the pool. Like I'm about to push you in. It's so tempting to just want, should Hartley jump into the pool?
No, I don't think
so. Who am I asking? There's no one else here besides me and you. Obviously, you're going to say no. All right, what's going on with Photomator is from Instructor West. They said, those of us looking to leave Adobe were thrilled to see that Pixelmator became part of the, you know, Apple Creative Studio, whatever they're calling it. But we need a Lightroom alternative. Do you think Apple's going to develop it, roll it into Pixelmator, and hope that we'll just use Photos? My personal thought was that a lot of the... Photomator becomes a like dead, like if they just discontinue it, I feel like they're going to take a lot of that stuff and put it into just the Photos app on your Mac. And just that's what we would use. I've asked this question to Apple. Apple didn't answer me, obviously. I don't know. I can see it go either way. I can see it going the way I just said, where they take a lot of the core features, the Lightroom stuff, the editing, just adding that into Apple's stock app, which would be great because then you don't have to pay for it. Or they could just roll out a brand new version in the next update for the Creative Studio.
I think it needs to join Apple Creative Studio.
I agree.
I don't like the approach of putting pro features alongside consumer features in apps like that. I mean, there's very good reason why we have iMovie and Final Cut Pro. And if Apple was talking about, oh yeah, we're going to just put the features from Final Cut in iMovie, that would be terrible. I mean, what about kids or people that want to make a simple family movie in iMovie? That suddenly are dealing with lots of high-end features, lots of complicated controls. You don't need that.
Yeah.
There are undoubtedly some features in Photomator that are really good that would be nice to see.
And they
in the
could
Photos
do that.
App, and come over. But I don't like that we've not heard about it because I use that app. It's excellent. But I feel like the traditional approach that we saw with GarageBand and Logic, Final Cut and iMovie, I think that's what we need to see with Pixelmator and Photomator.
I just think it wasn't their first priority, and it'll come.
Absolutely,
it'll come soon. All right, last software question comes from Avery Mard 2637. Do you think Apple is behind on basic smart home routines compared to Alexa? For example, Alexa can natively run a good morning routine where it would do lights, voice, and weather, while HomePod still requires shortcuts for this. Is this something Apple is likely to address in the future? Yes.
It seems so.
Yes to everything.
And it looks like that Apple is, as for some time, in fact, been looking into creating shortcuts via voice with AI.
Yeah.
So I imagine it will still work in shortcuts and with automations where you'll be able to see what Siri builds. But the way it will work in the future is that you will say the routine you want, and it will build that as a sequence of commands that you can just go in and tweak or adjust as you require, but it will still live there, but be a lot more intuitive for average users that don't want to go and mess around with those features.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think Apple's very behind. Obviously, we've spent years complaining about Siri. I can't wait for the updated version. I'm super excited. And then whatever smart home products come out with that, hopefully should be able to do the things that you're requesting and then go beyond that. So I'm excited for that. All right, we're jumping into general tech. I'm going to ask that we keep our answers as short as we can, okay?
Okay.
Just because there's a lot of them, and we'll keep it moving. And they're fun, so we shouldn't dwell on it too much. But if you've traded in all of your Apple... This one comes from MRNH, by the way. If you traded all your Apple devices for the entry-level versions, which product would have the greatest bottleneck on your day-to-day life? So my guess is they mean, like, you traded an iPhone Pro for an iPhone 17e.
Yeah. It's a really great question.
It's a fantastic question.
I feel like, in terms of my day-to-day work, it would be the Mac.
Yeah.
Because I
don't like you going first.
I struggle with 16 gigabytes of memory on my MacBook Pro as it stands. If I had to drop down to 8, I don't actually think the bottleneck for me would be the chip. It would be the memory.
Yeah.
And that would be the thing that would bother me. So that's an easy answer. I will also say that it's not work, but I would really miss the camera system on the iPhone.
I would be fine living with an iPhone 17e, though. I think it would much less frustrated than trying to do my work on a MacBook Neo. And it's not even that it can't handle video editing. Over time, it's going to be a nightmare as the machine gets all of the libraries and the cache files that come with those projects and stuff. And I will still plug in my extra SSD that I use for all of that. So it would mitigate most of it, but plug it into what? There's two ports two. I don't even remember. Yeah, two. Yeah. And there's no SD card slot. So I've got to figure that out. Oh, by the way, I like to use a monitor and there's one spot for that I can use it in. It's just going to become a nightmare over time compared to what I'm using now. And that's a huge jump going from a Mac Studio with an Ultra chip down to a MacBook Neo.
What I will say about that is that if we had to do that today, I would feel more confident about it as of this year than I would in previous years. I mean, the iPhone 17e is fantastic. AirPods 4, even stuff like the HomePod Mini. I mean, I feel like Apple's entry-level products now are in such a strong position.
This one's from Chili Chomp. Great name. Would you be up for doing a week-long challenge with iPhone or with Apple Watch only, no iPhone?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
But the only reason actually.
No, I think you should just keep it. I think you should just not tell
it. It's just the camera. That's all it is. I would not like not having a camera.
Dude, no. You know iPhone for a week. So when you're sitting there and you need to get your scroll fix in, you can't scroll anything here.
I could deal
any
with that.
Any current events. Responding to messages would be a nightmare after. I guess I would just dictate everything.
Yeah, I think that's manageable. The only thing that you could not do is take pictures because there's no camera.
I think I could go a full week without taking pictures.
No, I could not do that. I'm too vain.
Where
are the selfies going to come from?
Okay, as a man who takes zero selfies, that's why. I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to take pictures of all week? My kids? Wife will take care of that.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Callum 93 says, what is your honest thoughts on what Nothing is doing in the tech space, and would you ever consider moving to Nothing?
Personally, I would not because I'm too invested in the Apple ecosystem. But what I will say is...
That's a cop-out answer.
I see, especially in the UK, nothing devices are everywhere,
oh, yeah.
especially the over-ear headphones.
Yeah.
I feel like I see those on public transport all the time now. They are so popular. And I really do think that they have done something really different with their designs.
Mm-hmm.
And although I personally don't want to buy them for ecosystem reasons, I think they look great.
I agree. I don't know. I think a cop-out answer would be I could totally switch to the headphones. I don't need AirPods. Yeah, it's convenient, but like, it's fine. Those headphones sound fine. I've used them before. They're great. They look cool. I love the transparent look of the phones. It's just running Android. Like, I don't know. If it's a phone that looked like that and ran iOS, absolutely. Why wouldn't you? Cameras are okay. I feel like you would be. I don't know. I'm supposed to be getting the newer one in that came out. Haven't had a chance to test that, but every time I've gotten their phones in, I've really enjoyed it. It's just... Cop-out yeah. answers ecosystem. This one comes from J.I. with like 70 I's. Would you rather have a Windows laptop and an iPhone or a MacBook and a cellular Android tablet? That's a great question. It sucks. I hate that you asked that because it's hard to answer, but that's a...
I mean, I would choose the Mac. I could not work on a Windows laptop. It's... I could not.
I know how to cut in Adobe Premiere, so I could do it.
I would hate myself if I did that.
I don't know, dude. A cellular Android tablet as your main device.
But I feel like
tablet.
I could reduce my phone usage. That's all it would mean. But I could still still use iMessage from my Mac.
Yeah.
I would still get all of the ecosystem benefits.
No, you wouldn't use iMessage because your main number would be associated with this Android tablet.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I think I'm going Windows with iPhone.
Oh, okay.
I'm using my iPhone more than I am on my Mac. I guess, well, that's what it would do. It just, when I'm not working, I would just be on
my
phone.
See, what we need is external display support on the iPhone with Stage Manager, and then that's all you need.
Cop out answer. Yeah. I'm going to start calling you Cop Out Hartley.
Yeah.
Pecan5487, why doesn't Apple just make different size phones, iPads, MacBooks, but all get the same features? Just let us choose our size. I mean, is that not what I've been saying for years?
I would like to see that, especially for, you know, sometimes Apple does this great. The MacBook Pro, the iPad Air, the MacBook Air, it's handled really well.
Yeah.
But then we hit these other edge cases like... the iPad mini, the entry-level iPad, and in some instances, we've had this with the Pro Max iPhone versus the Pro iPhone, where there's feature differentiation. Actually, not at the moment with the current generation, which has been really nice to see. But I would really like to see that. And let's clean up the naming while we're at it.
That's the only reason why I want to see it, is the naming would be cleaned up, hopefully. You know what, John Ternus, if you want to catch me as your biggest fan of the...
Then you should release an orange iPhone. Would that help?
Shut up, Hartley. No, it would be... Just fix the naming conventions on things. We need to... But that's not his... He's going to let the marketing team do the marketing team stuff, but maybe an orange MacBook?
Which you'll then buy and switch to a silver one? Yep.
I need a new co-host. I really enjoy... This is from Brendan. I really enjoy last week's show. Thank you, Brendan. We appreciate it. Here's his would you rather. If you had to keep three devices, it would... or if he had to keep three devices, it would be his iPhone, AirPods Pro, and Apple TV. So what would that be for us if you had to keep three devices?
I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
We did, but for those who didn't hear it, let's just answer
so
again.
I think for me, it's going to be my Mac, my iPhone... and my AirPods. I'm happy to let the iPad go. I'm happy to let my Apple Watch go. And with a heavy heart, it would be also my Apple TV. I mean, I think the Apple TV is an interesting one because people love it because of replacing that smart, those sort of terrible built-in smart TV systems. But I feel like the amount of friction that adds to my life, if I had to use a control with rubber buttons that I have to go through some menus to get to Netflix, I can live with that, but I cannot.
Also, a lot of TVs are just using Google, and it's really fine. I actually kind of like it more because it's got a lot of the feature. I mean, there are ads, which is atrocious, or like suggested content that I don't necessarily enjoy, and that kind of sucks. But like, I do like some of the options where it is offering things based off of your algorithm. Like some of it, the suggested is you can tell this is a promotional thing. But then a lot of it's like, oh, I would actually want to watch that. And like, it has built-in Google Assistant and Gemini now. Like, that is a lot better than what we have right now on the Apple TV, which people love. And it hasn't really gotten any better over the last however many years. So I think I'm kind of the same, though. MacBook, AirPods, and actually, I would probably do Apple Watch. iPhone, Apple Watch, MacBook. I don't need AirPods. There's so many good. I just did a video the other day, so shameless plug if you want to go check it out. The Sony WF-1000 XM6s versus the AirPods Pro 3. It has multi-device connect. Sure, it's not as seamless and it's not as good, but like the audio quality is there. The comfort is there, kind of. The fit is much better than the AirPods. Does not fall out at all. Great ANC. So like there are so many other
competitors
there. It's a good
point.
There.
I mean, AirPods are definitely the least significant.
Nothing beats the Apple Watch. What am I wearing? I guess I would wear my Garmin golf watch the whole time. I do really like that. And
I thought you were going to say, I do really like golf.
I wasn't going to go there, but I do. My hat says it. But anyways, yeah, I mean, that is a good watch, but I can't like, I can see notifications on it from my iPhone, but I can't really do anything else. And there's no clothes in your rings and all that. There's like Garmin's versions. That's a great watch. That would probably be what I would switch to. So yeah, it'd probably be like 1A, 1B, AirPods or Apple Watch. Take it or leave it. Bill from Holyoke, Massachusetts. Holyoke. I don't know why I said that so weird. Holyoke, Massachusetts. Oldest piece of tech that you own, and do you use it?
The oldest piece of tech that I own, I don't know about that. I mean, I still have my first ever Apple device, which was I believe, a fifth generation iPod Classic.
Yeah.
It still works, but obviously I don't use it. And I am slightly terrified every time I charge it because that battery is old now.
Yeah. I guess the better question is oldest piece of tech that you own, and then what's the oldest piece of tech that you use?
That I still use. I mean, in theory, I suppose it's probably my AirPods Max. Not even though I bought my ones relatively recently, because of course the hardware in this is still the same as the 2020 version.
Yeah.
But everything else, I'm pretty sure that I use on a regular basis is newer. So. It's done pretty well. I have a 2021 MacBook Pro that now needs a battery replacement. So that's been hanging around for a while.
What about the HomePod? When was that?
That was also 2020, but I believe... Oh, no, actually, yeah, I suppose it's yeah. Yeah, it's the HomePod Mini.
I don't use the HomePod Mini, though, so I can't... I own it, but I don't use it. Oldest piece of tech that I own is the Apple II, but that doesn't work, so just that doesn't count, but I do have one. I don't know what the oldest piece of tech that I like actually use on a regular basis. Apple TVs, maybe? That's got it. Or the Mac Studio? I don't know. That was a couple of years old, but
I mean,
that doesn't work
for
me.
All of this stuff is still pretty recent. I'm trying to think if there's anything that's older than that. You know, back from maybe the 2010s that's still in use,
no.
But probably not. I mean, it's different for us because
right.
We're so engrossed in all of this that it would be impressive to keep things for that long. I mean, I think I've done pretty well keeping my MacBook for
yeah.
5 years.
Yeah. Callum 93, I feel like you already had a question, but I'm going to read it anyways. What has drawn you to Apple to become a fan?
I think that for me, it's what it is for a lot of people, which is that Apple does not just feel like every other company. It does sincerely feel like it was doing something differently. I say that past tense because I'm not so convinced of it anymore. And its approach to design and a high quality fit and finish and being very selective and opinionated and discerning felt very unique. I mean, even when you think about the Apple brand, it's very powerful. How many other brands are singularly recognizable just from their logo when it does not contain any letters? So you could maybe say like the golden arches for McDonald's are really recognizable, but it's still an M. Whereas if you go to a mall and you see the signs for different shops, they will all have them written out except Apple, which just has a logo that does not have any words. That is testament to how powerful that brand is. And you think about how this all started. I mean, how different is it to have something that's just named after a fruit when it was for computers, when you had IBM and Microsoft and it was very, very different, very radical. And it really did feel like the future.
Yeah. This kind of goes hand in hand with another question.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
From the same person, so we're just going to keep it rolling. What was your first Apple product? So I think that's kind of what drew me into Apple, was my first Apple product, which was an iPod, one of the originals. I don't think it was the first one. I don't think when I had enough money to finally get one, it might have been Gen 2. But yeah, I mean, I absolutely loved my iPod. That was the first thing that I wanted so bad. I worked for my dad for the summer and saved up every bit of money that I could, and finally jumped from a CD player to an iPod, and it was like a fantastic day. Before that, though, I was exposed to like the iMacs in school, and I did love those, but like I didn't really use it. I mean, I had a family computer that we used, and it was like some Dell or something. So yeah, I think what really drew me in, and once I got an iPod and realized how great like that whole ecosystem was, or like how it was starting to shape up, and then getting iTunes, and it just kind of sucked you in more, and then obviously with the release of the iPhone and having a Mac and all of those things working together, I think once you're in it, you kind of, it's kind of hard to break away.
So as I mentioned, it was the same for me with the iPod. I was actually a little too young to appreciate it when I first got it, but it hung around for a few years. And then one day it just sort of clicked for me. And then I got an iPod Shuffle as well, and eventually iPod Touch, and then worked my way up to an iPhone and kind of took off from there.
I love how I said we should try to answer these questions super quickly, and we're not doing that.
Well, we can always save some for the bonus episode.
Well, the bonus episode, well, this is a bonus episode. Well, no, actually, this is not. We do have a bonus episode, which we mentioned, but that's going to be more personal. Even though some of this is personal, I still think I want you to be able to answer this. Anman Haram 7 would like to know if you all use Windows or Android devices in your personal lives. I think we know the answer for you.
No.
That's a no.
If I even set eyes on a Windows laptop, I think I sort of burst into flames.
Okay. Wow, that's harsh. Actually, does anyone have a Windows? I want to see this. I actually do use a Windows like gaming PC to run the golf sim that I have. So I do use that on a pretty regular basis, but it's literally just opening up a specific application and then that's it. But even in that...
Of course it relates to golf.
Okay. You know what? And even in that specific moment, I am kind of annoyed that I'm using, like, I can't just use my Mac for it. I use Android devices a ton, but that's not really personal. It's more for work to test out. And also, someone else asked, and this was basically the exact same question that we had before, and I feel like my answer does change. So you said you said you would use the cellular Android tablet.
Yes.
Which in my case, I'm going to say you're going to use a 9-inch Samsung tablet, okay?
Okay.
With a MacBook. Now, this person asked, would you rather use an iPhone with a Windows laptop or an Android phone? So we'll say any Android phone that you'd like with a MacBook. I think my answer would then change to MacBook with an Android phone, yeah, because then that makes it much more tolerable, for my opinion.
Yes, well, obviously that would be the same for me.
Okay. What are your most favorite devices and the ones that you use the most? That's from Neil Barnett.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the Mac.
Yeah.
So that is undoubtedly my favorite device. I could not live without my Mac.
I could live without my Mac if I wasn't using it for work, because I only use it for work, which is a huge part of my day. So, I mean, I can't live without it if I'm working. But let's just say
I thought you were going to say you can't live without your golf simulator.
I mean, I can't, but... I can't let my golf clubs.
What about your iPhone, your MacBook, or your golf simulator?
Oh, golf sim. I don't need, no one needs to bother, no one can bother me.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think for me, it's my phone. I need my iPhone. I don't know. Like, because if I hit the lottery one day and I'm just like a dude chilling, like, I think that's just, I would have my phone on me. I wouldn't have a Mac.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need one. I think that's it for those. Did you tell me what your first Apple product was?
Yeah, it's my iPod Classic 5th generation.
I don't think you said that.
I did.
No, I was not listening. I'm so sorry. Well, you know, I'm trying to multitask, go through other questions here. Okay. This is the last one. This is a big one. Okay. So what do you think of your spouses or family members using non-Apple devices?
I am strongly disapproving of this because, you know, I love iMessage. Mm-hmm. And the idea of having to switch between platforms for family messages is horrible, actually. I do have to do it.
Use WhatsApp for something?
Yeah, and I do not like it. I am way more likely to communicate with people if they use iMessage. And I almost probably, in fact, I do communicate with those people that have WhatsApp less, because I don't think to look in that app. I don't enjoy using it.
Yeah. Which is weird, because in your country and most of Europe and stuff, I feel like a lot of people just use WhatsApp.
Absolutely, and they do, but I'm so into the Apple ecosystem. It's part of my job.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. And fortunately, I have persuaded almost every member of my family to move to a very good Apple ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fine with them, I guess, using it, but it just sucks.
It does make things easier, you know. You've got family sharing is a great feature. Share your subscriptions. And
I think my kids are brainwashed because they already have Apple accounts, and then they have like, so that they're just going to
Apple One family plan is really useful. Yeah. Share your iCloud storage.
I just know somebody that uses Android exclusively, and he is making his family until they are like, well, his wife, I think, is fine and just like uses an Android phone just because she doesn't want to argue. But like his kids, they're teenagers, they use Android phones. And you just know here in America too, I hate how superficial it is, but like they probably really want to use an iPhone. And their dad's just like, nope, until you can buy one yourself, like you're using these, like, I don't know what his disdain is for it. I often make fun of him for it. But yeah, he's probably the only person I text the most that's,
I think I know who you're talking about.
That uses RC. Yeah. Yeah, you do. You've met this person before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hilarious. Yeah. All right. Well, that's this week's episode. Of course, we are going to immediately start recording our personal Q&A. And again, that'll be under our new subscription launch, along with other bonus episodes in the future and ad-free episodes of our normal shows. But nothing else is changing. If you don't want to do that, totally understand. You can just continue to listen to us on all the other platforms. And thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you. No, we won't do any of that. We'll catch you in next week's episode. That's it.